St. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. And I'll just be starting with verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. My dear friends in Christ, dear believers in Christ, Jesus tells a story. A farmer plants seed, yet this farmer is so generous that he throws it everywhere. He almost seems to be reckless because he throws it not only on the good ground, but also on a road and on a rock and among thorns. In the parable, God is the farmer, and his word is the seed that is cast. The farmer's recklessness represents the love, the compassion of our Heavenly Father, who wants not one soul to perish. So he spreads his saving gospel, the saving word, the seed among all nations, among all races, commanding us too to preach the gospel everywhere, to every creature, because it is God's will for all to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we can be confident that we're part of that all, because all means all. It is God's good and gracious will for us too to be saved. No matter how great our sins may be, the Father sent His Son to die for all, even for those who crucified Him. But now Jesus is risen from the dead, and He's never going to die again. He lives to raise us to new life by His Word and Spirit. His word is the invitation for all sinners to come and believe and be forgiven and be saved. He says clearly, come, for all things are now ready. As we can see today, God's word is like seed. It has this power inside of it, like a tiny little seed that we maybe can barely even see. It has this power inside of it to grow into something that's even bigger than we are. Likewise, the Word of God planted in the heart can do more than we can even dream of. It can turn even a murderer like Paul into a great man. But most of all, it has the power to save our eternal soul. And it has, and it will. Receive with meekness the engrafted, the planted word, which is able to save your souls. It does no good if it just sits on a shelf, a seed. It must be planted in the ground. And so the Word of God must be planted in our heart. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Why is it so powerful? Because it isn't just words. Jesus says, "My words are spirit, and they are life. And I am come to give you life, and that you might have it more abundantly," as His Spirit works through the Word. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit," who works through the Word. His Spirit brings to us the knowledge of salvation. Knowledge that although we are sinners that deserve eternal condemnation because of our sins, yet God sent us His Son, His only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because He took upon Himself our condemnation. He that believes on Him is not condemned. The wisdom of the world, though, unfortunately we have to put up with that. The wisdom of the world says, well, come on, we got to have something more than God's Word. We got to have something that just seems like it would do more than just words. But we notice that there are not four different kinds of seed in the parable. There's only one kind of seed. There's different kinds of soil, different kinds of ground, but there's only one kind of seed. The Word of God always has the same power and authority and capability to save an eternal soul. Whoever believes it will be saved. Unfortunately, people receive it differently, however. It's not the seed, it's not the word that is the problem. It's the ground, the different kinds of ground that some of which reject it. That's the unfortunate news in today's gospel lesson. It clearly states that there are those who reject God's Word. Let us not allow that fact, however, to discourage you, believer in Christ, or cause you to despair. God's will is that you be strengthened by these words, and ever more so rooted and grounded in His grace and forgiveness. In fact, His promise is that He will actually keep you for the rest of your life as He continues to nurture the seed planted in your heart. As He reminds you, for example, of your baptism, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed of God's Word that lives and abides forever. So you can be confident that God will continue to nurture the seed of His Word in your heart. He's the one who planted it. He's the one who will keep it growing as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But come on! Come on now! We gotta have something more than God's Word. We gotta have people entertaining us, giving us some more excitement. We gotta have something more than God's Word. We gotta have a clown for the kids. We got to have games and prizes and rock bands and food and movies and popcorn. But Jesus says, actually, only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. That is, it's so simple. The one thing needful is God's word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And God is not stingy with his word, with this seed. Like seed in the hand of a generous farmer, he throws it everywhere. The desire of his heart of hearts is that all be saved. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Unfortunately, not all will be saved, however. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is not the problem. The problem is the different types of soil that reject God's Word. The problem is that we have the devil, the world, and our own flesh that all constantly work against the Word, against true faith in the Word. The devil actually has a very good strategy. He doesn't necessarily always directly attack people. The devil's strategy is to attack God's Word. And how does he do that? He lies. The truth of God's Word says that God would have all to be saved. The devil says, now come on, did God really say that? In fact, before it even has a chance to take root, in many cases, like seed thrown on a road, the devil comes along and snatches it away, saying, oh, come on, the Bible's just a bunch of fables written by men passed down. You really don't need to pay it much attention. Maybe it's worthy to be in a library somewhere before even giving it a chance. Many reject it. Others are like the rocky ground. They receive the word at first, but they treat it like a passing fad. As soon as temptation comes knocking, it's clear that God's word never really meant that much to them anyway. And so they too fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. God has provided these riches and cares of this life for our benefit. But the devil comes again with his lie, saying, go ahead and love them. Love money. Look at everything that money provides you with. Trust in it, not in God. But reality is that it's like a mirage. When we actually get to the top of that mountain of wealth, maybe even $1 million or more, it turns out that there's nothing really there. Well, there's something there, all right, but it can do absolutely nothing to satisfy our eternal soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? The fourth and final type of ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth faith, or bring forth fruit with patience. By God's grace, the word of God to you, believer in Christ, is not just a passing fad. It means everything. Because you and I have no righteousness of our own. We have no worthiness of our own by which we could enter heaven. But the Word of God brings to us Jesus Christ. And he was crucified and risen for us. He promises that just as surely as he lives, you too will live. So, like Mary, by God's grace, we keep that word in our heart. We treasure it. We value it above all else. Because everything else in this life passes away. Everything we own, our money, our car, our house, it all passes away. But the Word of God endures forever. And those who cling to it and cling to the eternal Savior who gives us His Word will live forever. If anyone realizes that their heart has been like that ground, the wayside, the rock, that among thorns, let us remember God's promise. There is joy in heaven over every single sinner who repents and believes. Christ has open arms for anyone who comes to Him, no matter how dark their past has been. Jesus has accomplished everything needful for us to be saved. And He says, simply believe, and you will be saved. So, therefore, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. May His Spirit then continue to nurture that word that God has planted in your heart. May He continue to comfort you and strengthen you in that true saving faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.